Title: Hooks built from rhythmically gated chords advanced. All right, let's build one of the fastest instant energy hook elements in drum and bass. Rhythmically gated chords. This is that trick where you start with a simple chord progression, but instead of letting it sit there like a pad, you turn it into a rhythmic engine that locks into the drums and dances around the bass. The big mindset for today: simple harmony, complex rhythm, and even more specifically, think envelope math, not just rhythm. The gate pattern is only half a hook. The other half is how long the chord rings after each opening. That's what makes it feel like a percussive instrument instead of a wash. Let's set the session up so the groove tells us the truth. Set your tempo to somewhere between 172 and 176 BPM. Now make a basic drum bed, even if it's placeholder. Put your kick on beat 1, snare on 2 and 4. If you're doing steppers, you can add an extra kick on the end of 3, but don't overthink it yet. Add hats or shuffles so there's motion. And crucially, drop in a bass placeholder. A sine sub is totally fine. The reason is simple. Gated hooks only feel right when they're interacting with a pocket. If you design them in isolation, they'll usually land in the wrong place rhythmically and tonally. Now let's make the chord source. You have two solid directions. Option A is a clean modern synth chord in Waveeatable. Create a MIDI track. Load Waveeatable. Start with a sawish waveform or something rich in harmonics. Add a second oscillator, maybe a sine or another saw but quieter. Give it just a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices, and keep the amount subtle so it doesn't turn into a blurry supersaw. Turn on a low-pass filter, LP24 is great, add a little drive, and set the cutoff somewhere in that 500 Hz to 2K Hz zone. We'll automate later, so just get it in the ballpark. For the amp envelope, avoid long pad settings. Give it a quick attack, a couple milliseconds. Decay somewhere around a quarter to half a second. Sustain low, maybe even close to zero. And a modest release, like 80 to 200 milliseconds. You want it to speak quickly, because the gate is going to do rhythmic articulation and you want the sound to respond. Option B is the classic route, a sample jungle stab. Drag a stab into simpler, set it to classic mode, and shorten the decay and release so it behaves like a tight stab. Either approach works because the gating will do a lot of the heavy lifting. Choose based on vibe, Waveeatable for modern techie, sampled stab for that rave jungle DNA. Now write your progression, then reduce it. Make a 4-bar loop. Start by holding each chord for 1 full bar. Whole notes, no rhythm yet. You're checking harmony and voicing. For DNB, minor 7ths and sus chords are your best friends because they're harmonically rich but ambiguous, and they loop really well. Here's a solid example in F minor. F minor 7 to D flat major 7 to E flat 9 to F minor 7. But you don't need 4 chords. In fact, once it feels good, simplify it. Try just 2 chords alternating, or even 1 chord, and you shift 1 note by an octave every bar, like changing inversions. At 174 BPM, hypnotic beat songwriter busy almost every time. Also, keep your voicing in the mid-register, around F3 up to C5. If you play too low, you'll fight the bass and the snare body. If you play too high, you'll get thin and fizzy. Important coaching note here. Separate note length from gate length. Keep the MIDI notes long so the harmony is stable and voice leading stays smooth. Do not try to write the rhythm with short MIDI notes. We're going to do all the articulation with gating. That's how you get that expensive, controlled chop. Now we build the rhythmic gate. And I'm going to show you 3 methods, but we'll focus on the most controllable one first. Method 1 is a gate triggered by a ghost sidechain. This is the producer method because you get exact rhythm control. Create a new MIDI track and name it Gate Trig. Load a drum rack on it with a very short click or tick sample. Something with a fast transient. Program a rhythm pattern on a 16th grid to start. For example, put hits on 1E, 1A, 2 and 3E, 3 and 4A. That kind of syncopated roll is a great starting point. Now route this trigger track to your chord track as audio. Set audio to on the trigger track to the chord track. Choose pre-FX and make sure you don't hear it. Turn its volume down or disable monitoring, whatever works in your template. The point is, it drives the gate, but it stays silent. On the chord track, add Ableton's gate audio effect. Turn on sidechain. Set audio from to your gate trig track. Now adjust threshold so the gate opens only when the click hits. You'll usually land somewhere between minus 30 and minus 15 dB depending on how loud your trigger is. Then dial the envelope. Set attack super fast, around 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Hold somewhere like 10 to 40 milliseconds. Release is your groove knob. If you keep it short, like 30 to 80 milliseconds, you get that tight, choppy percussion feel. If you extend it to 100 or 120 milliseconds, it starts to pulse and bloom. Here's the envelope math moment. If your synth amp release is slightly longer than your gate release, you get a pluck then bloom feel. If both are short, it becomes pure percussion. Decide what role you want. Do you want this hook to be almost like a hat layer, or do you want it to fill space between drums with a little tail? Now, pro-level detail. Microtiming. If your trigger MIDI is perfectly on the grid, it can sound static. Try nudging specific trigger hits slightly late, like 5 to 12 milliseconds. Usually the hits that lead into the snare are the magic ones. You're not changing your drum groove, you're giving the hook a human pulse so it leans into the backbeat. Okay, method 2 is the fast one. Auto pan as a tremolo gate. Drop auto pan on the chord track. Set phase to 0 degrees. That's the key. Phase at 0 means it's amplitude modulation, not actually panning left and right. Then set the rate to 1/8 or 1/16 in sync mode. Try 1/8 triplet if you want that jungle push-pull against straight hats. Turn the amount up, 70 to 100%. Shape controls how choppy it feels. Sine is smooth, more square is more on-off. If you use this method, keep your stereo under control afterward with utility. Pull width down if needed, especially in dense drop sections. Auto pan can make things feel wide in a way that's fun, but it can also wreck mono compatibility if you let it get out of hand. Method 3 is clip envelope volume shaping, which is surgical. If you want a custom rhythm for specific sections, resample or freeze and flatten your chord track to audio, then draw volume envelopes inside the clip. This is amazing for fills, phrase end moments, and one-off edits where you want the gate to do something super specific for a bar. Now let's do the mix discipline, because this is where a lot of gated chord hooks die. They're cool, but they're in the wrong lane. Put EQ aid on your chord track. High pass it somewhere between 150 and 300 Hz. If you've got a heavy bass, go steeper and higher. Be mindful of the snare fundamental zone, often around 180 to 220 Hz. If your hook is crowding there, the snare will feel smaller. Also check 300 to 600 Hz for boxiness. A gentle dip there can clean up a ton. And if the top end gets hissy, a small shelf down above 10K can help. Then add saturator. Analog clip mode is great. Drive it a few dB, soft clip on. Saturation helps the hook stay audible at lower fader levels, which is exactly what you want in DNB, energy, without taking over the mix. If you need glue, add a glue compressor lightly. 2-to-1 ratio, medium attack like 10 to 30 milliseconds, release on auto and keep gain reduction to 1 or 2 dB. The gate is already doing motion. Compression here is just to make it feel like one consistent instrument. Teacher note, if you find yourself constantly eking just to hear the hook, that's often not an EQ problem. It's usually an envelope or gate issue. If the hook isn't speaking, make the openings clearer and more intentional before you start carving your whole mix. Now let's give the hook movement and identity with automation, because a gated chord that never changes will feel loop-wise fast. Create an audio effect rack after your gate and map a few key parameters to macros. Put auto filter in there. Map cutoff to a macro called brightness. Add a touch of resonance, not too much, and automate cutoff over 8-bar phrases. Small moves are enough. Add chorus ensemble lightly. Map amount to a macro called width or smear. Keep low mids clean either with EQ before it or by filtering your chorus return vibe. The goal is excitement, not mud. Reverb. Keep it controlled. Ideally, do reverb on a return so you can do throws. If you do insert reverb, keep decay under about 1.6 seconds and high pass the reverb, so it's not flooding the low mids. The move in DNB is reverb throws at the ends of phrases, not constant wetness. Then utility at the end. Map width to a macro called stereo. Automate it. Narrower when the drums are busiest, wider when you want lift, like in the last 4 bars of a 16-bar phrase or in breakdown moments. Extra advanced sound design options if you want the hook to feel huge but stable. Do a mid/side cleanup. Roll off low frequencies on the sides below about 250 to 400 Hz, then allow width above that. That keeps mono strong while still feeling wide. Also, try pre-gate versus post-gate saturation. Distorting before the gate tends to feel smoother and more cohesive. Distorting after the gate exaggerates the chop and can get aggressive, sometimes even clicky. Both are valid. Choose based on whether you want polish or bite. Now arrangement. This is where it becomes a hook instead of a loop. Think of the gated chord like a drum layer. You're going to give it phrases, variation, and negative space so it talks with the bass and drums. Here's a reliable 32-bar drop plan. Bars 1 to 8, tight and dry. Keep stereo narrower, minimal reverb, maybe a slightly darker filter setting. Let the drums and bass establish the drop. Bars 9 to 16, introduce varination. Open the filter slightly, or swap to a different gate trigger pattern. Even changing just the trigger rhythm every 8 bars can make it feel like the track is developing. Bars 17 to 24, call and response with bass. Mute the hook every 2 bars, or even every other bar, especially if your bass is doing fills. Make a rule. When the bass is long, the hook can be busier. When the bass is busy, the hook should get out of the way. Bars 25 to 32, peak energy. Add an octave layer up top. Widen a bit, and do 1 or 2 controlled reverb throws. You can also do a phrase end ungate moment for the last half beat of an 8-bar phrase. Bypass the gate so the chord sustains briefly. That tiny sustain tail tells the listener section boundary without needing new notes. A really strong second drop without changing drums trick. Do a drop reset at bar 17. Mute the hook for 2 beats, then bring it back with a new gate rhythm. That silence feels like a fill, and the new rhythm feels like a switch up. Now let's hit common mistakes so you can self-diagnose fast. If it feels muddy and the drop loses punch, it's usually too much low mid energy in the 200 to 500 Hz zone. High pass more and consider a small dip. If the rhythm feels like a blur instead of a hook, your gate release is too long or your hold is too generous. Tighten it until you hear clear hits. If the drop feels wide but weak, you're probably over-widening the hook. Pull width down and do a mono check. A good test, set width to 0. If the hook disappears, you're relying on stereo tricks instead of a solid mid-range core. If the loop gets annoying fast, your harmony is probably too complex. Reduce to 2 chords or 1 chord with inversion changes. Let the rhythm and automation do the work. And if reverb is killing punch, stop running it constantly. Make it a throw and filter the reverb so it sits behind the drums, not on top of them. This audio version is shortened for playback.